Funniest host-hitting little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Try some today. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
At least 3 distinct advantages to having 4 children. Now, believe me, I'm always hoping to find more, but one does have the reasonable hope that at least a few of them will visit their mother in her old age. As a friend once noted to me, and this would be the second reason to have 4 kids, it is actually easier to ignore 4 children than it is to ignore 1 child. How true that is. And the third advantage is that when one writes a newspaper column about parenting and family life, one can change the names to protect the innocent. So then let's call this child Chris, understanding that I have no child named Chris. Today, yes, I received a call from the school principal, or I should have said earlier this week, I received a call from the school principal about a behavior problem in one of my children, Chris. Now, please understand that when I was a child, had the principal called my mother about a behavior problem where I was involved, I would be dead. Okay, I would not be here speaking to you today. In fact, it probably would have been a very slow and painful death. Before I started high school, in fact, my mom literally and very clearly said to me, if the principal ever calls her, you know, about a problem involving me, she told me that I would be in more trouble than I could untangle in a lifetime. The principal never called. I lived. Now, there was one time where it was close, and I really, really skated by him on the very edge of existence, but he didn't actually call. I digress, and I live. Well, today, or earlier this week, rather, this child, Chris, dissed, I mean really dissed the school principal. Yes, the principal, okay? We're talking Chris rolled the eyes, there were rude responses, talking back, a G's thrown in for good measure. This has apparently been going on for some time in the classroom as well. Now, my dear departed mom is probably wincing or laughing at me hysterically. She always did wish difficult children upon me, but I digress again. The principal, you know, he expressed to me this, you know, very kind worry as to whether, you know, Chris was struggling with some underlying issue. Now, I have to tell you, my mother would have said, who the heck cares? We all have issues. Join the party. No kid of mine is going to diss the school principal. And then I would be dead. She didn't care about any underlying issues. Now, hopefully my response to the school principal was a bit more nuanced. An underlying issue may well be in play. It's not worth to find out what it is, but part of maturing is learning to treat people rightly for whatever we are going through. So when I got that call about Chris, you know what, friends? It called me to account with all of my children. You're listening to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart saying thanks to all of you for joining me today. It does take a parent, preferably a couple, maybe even a small army, to raise a child. And I certainly had some thinking to do this week. But I'm glad you've tuned into It Takes a Parent today. Happy Sunday to you. I've got a lot to talk to you about in the heartbeat section of the show. Lots of stuff about parents and families in the news lately, from big families and people having a lot of kids to children stressing out marriages to whether or not there's a scientific basis for prayer. Gee, do you think? To students students who kind of go to college and kind of expect B's literally just for showing up in class. I don't know if we're going to get to all this stuff today. I hope we do, because I've got just all kinds of things I wanted to talk to you about and talk with you about. And then later in the show, we get to talk to Will Cunningham, who is the director of the family camp at Kanakuk Christian Camps. And I love Kanakuk. That is where my kids go to camp. And I asked them to come on the air today and talk about camps and getting ready for summer camps, what to expect, how to pick one, all that good stuff. But right now, back to Chris and my little problem when it came to respect. You know what? It occurred to me we live in a culture in which authority and trusting authority is pretty optional, right? Better put, we think authority, which personally impinges upon us, is optional. You know, we're going to carefully avoid, right, the 10 and under line in the grocery store. You don't want to do that. If you've got 11 items, you're going to stay out of it because, you know, the sign says 10 and under. That's no problem, right? That's impersonal. We don't care. But a boss who says, hey, this is about you, do it over, guess what? Ooh, suddenly we're resentful. You know what? Instead, what a blessing we give to our kids when we teach them that authority in their world, even though it's not infallible, is for their good. You know what? I've got to get used to this, too, because guess what? When we teach our kids about authority, when we teach them to respect it and to rightly submit to it, we get them ready to understand and to live under God's authority. But even now in this world, I'm not the only authority in my children's lives, from police officers to school teachers and certainly a school principal. There are other adults even outside of our family they are to respect. And by the way, this is one of the concerns I have about some elements of the homeschooling movement. And I do know this because I have dealt with people who really regard themselves as almost the only worldly authority in their children's lives. And the idea that their children might be under the authority of another is really scary to them. And I think that's unfortunate because I don't think that's the way God designed it at all. I think He designs us to live in a world with different kinds and types of authorities. And when we're young, that's often school teachers. It could be a police officer. Like I said, it's certainly a principal. But when our kids learn to rightly submit to authority, which can include thoughtfully questioning it where appropriate, absolutely, even as a young child, you can do that in an appropriate way. But when we teach them to do that, they get a chip off their shoulder. They learn to operate in a world which is not all about them. And that is how it is supposed to be. And if we don't teach our kids to submit to worldly authorities, they are going to have a tough time submitting to their Heavenly Father's authority. But you know what? The fact is, and I've been called to account on this, it starts in the home. And I got to tell you, friends, I tolerate way too much eye rolling, back talking, sarcasm towards me in my house. I'm really getting a little more aware of that, finally. I think sometimes we parents fall into a pattern of dealing with our children that if an outsider came in, they would look at that and say, whoa, that is not okay. If we were that outsider in another home, we'd say, I can't believe that kid talked to his parent like that. But in our own homes, we get used to dealing with it, and we don't see it as clearly. This called me to see it a little more clearly. You know what? I tolerate too much of that garbage in my home, I got to tell you. You know, the sarcasm, frankly, is a tough one because I, frankly, tend to be pretty sarcastic myself. So I'll tell my children, don't be sarcastic with me, they'll say, well, Mom, you're sarcastic with us all the time. You know what? They're right. So, all right, I got to work on that. But anyway, no wonder what I'm doing at home then spills over to the school. Now, it's true, the culture does not back me up on the zero tolerance towards such things. It doesn't. You know, right? We live, friends, in a culture in which we don't just live in it. We marinate in a culture that teaches us and our kids to be our own authority. So what? You know what? So what? Because of the culture, my job may be harder, but it doesn't mean I'm off the hook. So I got to tell you, last week after this incident with the very kind school principal, there's been a lot of sorting out in my house. Chris is chastened, but still very much alive. And while I hardly expect to suddenly start getting it all right, I do feel like I've gone back to school to relearn and maybe better help my kids learn some fundamentally important lessons. And sometimes when I'm tired or when I'm dwelling on the fact there's four of them and one of me or whatever the case may be, and I don't want to call them to account and say, do not speak to me like that. Do not order me around. Do not tell me to go find or get something, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? If I just decide now to nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife, the deputy, you know, used to say on the Andy Griffith Show, nip it in the bud. If I'm willing to just do the hard work now, it will be such a blessing to me, to my household, to my kids. So that one phone call from the school principal and four kids and one mother are hopefully a lot more on their toes. So thanks for tuning into It Takes a Parent. Again, it's Betsy Hart. And by the way, friends, you can visit me anytime at betsysblog.com. That is betsysblog.com. I post my column there. You can get all kinds of information on our great sponsors. We have a bunch of wonderful new sponsors and hear the radio show and all kinds of family news and things going on. So I do hope you'll visit, and I hope you tell your friends about it. You know, one interesting thing that came across my desk, I've had a bunch this last week, and I love it when my readers and listeners send me news that they want to hear on the Heartbeat part of the show. So please keep that coming in. As always, you can get to me through betsysblog.com. Fit kids get better grades. All right. This is by Michael O'Shea in Parade magazine. And he writes it as childhood obesity rates soar and kids spend more time sitting in front of their computers than playing outdoors. Diabetes and other weight-related illnesses are on the rise. But physical health isn't the only thing at stake. And we all know, right? We see the kids around us eating the double batch of French fries and getting obese. And it drives me crazy. And that's on the whole spectrum of parents who don't want to tell their kids no about anything. But anyway, according to a study by the California Department of Education, kids' fitness levels also may affect their performance in school. The study found that increased amounts of physical fitness translated into higher academic achievement at each of the three grade levels mentioned. Again, this is just out in Parade magazine. The benefits were most evident in, get this, math scores. Now, this is interesting. In girls, particularly those at higher fitness levels, demonstrated greater achievement than boys. In math, that's kind of interesting. Another study published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that increased physical activity had a positive effect on academic performance. I'm guessing some of this goes with confidence. If you've got a confident girl who's physically fit and she feels good about her body, she might feel good about other things too, including math. Previous research has led doctors to surmise that exercise may encourage new brain cell growth. A workout for your body is also a workout for your mind. Help kids to get in shape, and they may bring home higher test scores and better grades. And you know what? Those health benefits of helping our kids to be in shape, to eat right, will last a lifetime. And one of the things we have to learn as young people is to tame our appetites. You know what? If you can do that with food, you can do that with a lot of things. So it's a great gift we give to our kids when we give them the gift of health and a healthy weight. So another reason to do just that. Hey, come right back with us on It Takes a Parent. Lots more in the Heartbeat part of the show. And then later, all about summer camps with Will Cunningham of Kennecott Camp. Stay with us.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes New Life Live with Stephen Arterburn. Learn more at newlife.com and listen weekdays at 1.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
You're writing a Christian book and you want it published. You also know old-fashioned publishers reject thousands of manuscripts each year. Want your book in print and on Amazon? Make it happen. Take control and publish yourself with 21st Century Christian Publishing at Zulon Press. Learn more with your free guide to Christian publishing. Visit ChristianPublishing.com. ChristianPublishing.com. Publishing is fast, easy, and affordable with Zulon Press. A division of Salem Communications, the same great people who bring you this nifty radio station. AM
1160. AM 1160. Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? acclaimed facial cosmetics surgeon Dr. Wathi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180. Or visit HannahMD.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Bill Winston. Start your weekday mornings off right. Listen to the Believer's Walk of Faith Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. here on AM 1160 WYLL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. Did you all ever see the movie Cheaper by the Dozen? If you haven't, everybody in my listening audience has got to rent that movie. I can't remember the leads in it, but it was, you know, set in like the 19 teens, and it's based on a true story, and it's just fantastic as far as the value of this larger family, and they've got 12 kids, of course, Cheaper by the Dozen, and it is hilarious. And then at one point in the movie, the mother, who is very accomplished, and it turns out that historically she really was quite a professional woman, quite a success as an engineer herself, and also happened to have 12 kids. She's visited by, as sort of a joke, a neighbor sends a woman over to see her who is with Planned Parenthood. And the woman comes in and she said, "Oh, I want to talk to you. I understand you're a leader in the community and we have all these people having too many babies and we're concerned about it and we'd like to talk to you about starting to host our meetings and so forth." And so the mother, you know, realizes that a friend has played a joke on her. So she calls all of her children into the room and she and her husband have a real gas with this woman. And it's all, "Oh, yeah, are they all here? Yes, I think all a dozen. I think the last time I checked, we only had a dozen, yes." And of course, the Planned Parenthood representative goes running out of the house screaming hysterical. So it's really, really worth seeing. But I thought of that when I came across this article in the New York Times, which was just out a couple weeks ago. It was a magazine cover story. And Baby Makes How Many? And this is by Kate Zerwinkie. And she writes, "The comment from the photographer at Sears was typical. 'Are these all yours?' she asked, surveying Kim Gunup's 12 children. 'No,' Mrs. Gunup replied. 'I picked some up at the food court.' But it was harder to find a retort for a man in the line of the supermarket who said with an earshot of her youngest children, 'You must have a great sex life.' Now, her family, like other large families, as they call themselves, is facing endless news coverage, and this has to do because of the octuplets and some, John and Kate plus eight and the Duggar family and so forth. But what the article goes on to describe is that there really is sort of a boomlet in these slightly larger families, even aside from those who are doing artificial insemination and the mega families of the 16 and 18, or the ones we see on the Learning Channel and all that kind of stuff. So, but that people are beginning to have, you know, families of at least four and five, at least there's enough of those that they have found camaraderie on the web with each other and so forth. So one mom says, "You get the feeling," Mrs. Francis said, this is another mother of a large family, "that anybody who has more than three kids is either doing it for bizarre reasons or there's a medical anomaly." And in the last several days, the British government's environmental advisor declared it irresponsible to have more than two children. And, by the way, friends, listen to this. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, asserted that including contraception in the stimulus package could reduce government spending. Oh, give me a break. Mrs. Pelosi herself, the mother of five, was arguing against unwanted pregnancies, not families who choose to have big broods. But in any event, you get the point that you don't get the impression that children are valued in our culture. And, you know, I've dealt with this before, too, even just having four kids. When I went from three to four, and there's no question, that was a whole different zone. And apparently only about 5% of families with children in the home have four or more children. So I had really entered a whole different zone when I went in for and had number four. And I remember writing about this at the time and just kind of being told, like, why are you having all these kids and so forth. Of course, I also did hear from my friends in Utah and my Mormon friends who wrote to encourage me and say that in their culture, four was, you know, only a starter pack. But it does kind of show that we just don't really seem to value children. And here's one reason: it's because of quote unquote environmental concerns, hence the friend, the British minister there. But the New York Times article goes on to say, these beliefs of having a lot of kids and having the quiver full movement, it's called, I guess, in some Christian circles, of having a lot of kids, these beliefs run headlong into environmental concerns. At 6.8 billion people, the world population has more than tripled in the last century, and demographers expect it to exceed 9 billion by mid-century. Every single person has multiple impacts on multiple environmental resources, said Alan Weissman, the author of The World Without Us, which advocates a one-child policy to return the world to early 20th century population levels. It's a no-brainer that the more people there are, the more stress there is on an ecosystem that doesn't get any bigger. Okay, this guy is completely nuts. He has no idea what he's talking about. You know, friends, I just happened to fly back, courtesy of some friends of mine, from Colorado to Chicago, and it was a clear day on our way back. And you could look out, and let me tell you something, there's nobody down there. I saw the entire landscape from the time we took off in Colorado to the time we landed in Chicago. There is nobody there. We have plenty of room. And this is not just anecdotal. The fact is that in the United States, we are barely at replacement rate, friends. In Europe and Japan, there's a birth dearth. Guess what? In 30 years in Italy of all places, their primary population will not be Italian in 30 years. It will be Muslim. That is true in other European countries, although it's going to take a little bit longer. Japan is, for all intents and purposes, in about 100 years at their current birth rates, they will no longer exist as a society. Do you remember that whole debate in the 60s with the population bomb? John Ehrlich wrote it. All of our resources were going to be depleted and they were going to be overrun with people. It didn't happen. In fact, we constantly are ratcheting down our numbers for looking forward into the futures, how many people are going to be born. The fact is, the world can support it all and then some. And if you look around the world, it's people are having far too few babies. Those children who are being born are going to have a huge burden to support the existing population in their old age. We're not having big enough families. And if you doubt that, you just have to read a book by Julian Simon called The Greatest Resource. And it has to do with the greatness of man's mind to overcome some of these things, like it used to be the case that oil in the ground was completely, you know, it's the ultimate resource. That's right. No, it wasn't quite right. It's The Ultimate Resource by Julian Simon. That oil in the ground was completely worthless until about 1850. It was junk. It was useless. It wasn't a natural resource. There are virtually no natural resources. There's water and air, but only when you learn how to use these things do they become resources. So man's great mind figured out how to make oil a resource that we could use to fuel, literally, our economy. That's what made it valuable. It wasn't the stuff in the ground in and of itself. It was man's mind at harnessing it. And you never know when the great next man's mind is going to be born that can give us computers or can allow us to have so much greater skill and efficiency at producing food, that now the world can produce the food for all of its inhabitants. The fact that in some parts of the world, people still do go hungry, even though everywhere, even sub-Saharan Africa, we're producing far more food than just a few decades ago, is because of corrupt governments. That's the only reason. It's not because the earth can't do it. So people talk about this as if we have too many people, and that's one of the reasons this crazy guy is saying we should only have one child apiece, and that is just nuts. And you know what, friends? We've talked about this on the show before. It gets down to the fact that there are a whole lot of people out there who love humanity but really cannot stand people that much. And I have to say, I have to always think this goes back to something to do with they may not like God very much either. So how unfortunate. I'm all for big families, especially if, you know, moms and dads are there to take care of them themselves. I do agree with that, that is a responsibility we have, is to care for the children that we do have. I actually wanted a fifth child. I haven't told a lot of people that, but I actually was hoping to have a fifth child, and then my husband had other plans about continuing our family life, unfortunately. But I suppose, I don't know, it'd be really weird to be out there dating with five kids. Like, I think four is really, it's kind of the maximum you want to tell somebody about. I fully admit that. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I would have loved to have had more kids. So glad somebody's out there doing it for me. I think that's awesome. On the other end of the spectrum, it turns out, and we're not going to have a chance to get to everything I want to today in the heartbeat, but it turns out that actually for a lot of people, having children really, really stresses out the marriage. And this is by Stephanie Kuntz, and she writes an article, "The Till Children Do Us Part," that half a century ago, the conventional wisdom was that having a child was the surest way to build a happy marriage. Women's magazines of that era promised that almost any marital problem could be resolved by embarking on parenthood. "Once a child arrives, we don't worry about this couple anymore," an editor at Better Homes and Gardens enthused in 1944. "There are three in that family now. Perhaps there's not much more needed in a recipe for happiness." I don't know, I just think we're more selfish now. And so it used to be we would sacrifice for our kids and make our marriages work for our kids. And now that's a little bit more all about me. But Kuntz does, and she writes really interesting things about marriage and the history of marriage and families. Really, I don't always agree with everything she said, but really interesting. But she does write that today we are so much more child-centered, we're so much more wrapped up in our kids, and that could be one reason why it makes a marriage more stressful. So she writes, "Parents today spend much more time with their children than they did 40 years ago. Get this. The sociologists Suzanne Bianchi, John Robinson, and Melissa Milkey report that married mothers in 2000 spent 20% more time with their children than in 1965. Married fathers spent more than twice as much time, though it still probably wouldn't be 20%. And you know, I got to tell you, my parents had five kids. We just really never saw them. I mean, that's why they had five kids, is so we could entertain each other. At least I think that's probably what they would say about why they had so many kids. There was no sort of mom, sit with me and play Candyland. My mother didn't play Candyland with me. She read to me at night, but I don't remember her ever playing Candyland with me or even, frankly, going to the park. I mean, that was just something I did with my friends. She was busy. She had work to do around the house. She was continuing her education. And, my parents were married until she died for, I think, 44 years. And I think it's part of it. You know, we've talked about this in the show before. We get so over-involved in our children that we as spouses don't involve ourselves with each other. And sometimes that can cause some real dry spells in marriage. So I would encourage all of my listeners to make their homes, if you're married, to make them a little more about mom and dad and a little less about putting that child on the pedestal. So, of course, as I'm sure people occasionally listen to me and say, but you're giving all this marriage advice, but you're divorced. I don't know. All right. So take it with a grain of salt. But I wanted to stay married. I will tell you that. And I do think I have at least some insights into how to make that work. So take them if they work for you. But one thing I think that works for families is putting a lot of effort into mom and dad and letting the kids fend for themselves just a little bit more than we do today. Hey, come right back on It Takes a Parent. We get to talk to Will Cunningham, who is director of family camp for Kanakuk Camps, my absolute favorite camp in the whole world. That's where my kids go to camp. I've asked him to come on today and talk all about summer camps, and you're not going to want to miss some of what he has to say. It will surprise you. Stay with us on It Takes a Parent. Come right back. It's Betsy Hart asking you not to leave.
Don't know when your favorite program is on? Check out the program guide for Chicago's Christian Talk at WYLL.com. That's WYLL.com.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines, along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at ElitefitnessWS.com. That's ElitefitnessWS.com.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, "I highly recommend it." Buy your signed copy now at Betsy'sBlog.com. That's Betsy's Blog. Com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host Betsy Hart can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
Get answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Hello, Mother. Hello, Father. Here I am at Camp Robo. Camp is very entertaining, and I say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart, and I get to welcome one of my friends, director of the family camp, Kay Kawhi, for the Kanakuk Family of Camps in Branson, Missouri, Will Cunningham. Will, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Thanks for having me today, Betsy.
Oh, I'm so glad you're on the air. And I love that little that song, by the way, by Alan Sherman, Hello Mudda, Hello Father. Correct me. I never got to go to camp as a kid, Will. That's why I love your camp so much. I never got to go as a kid.
Well, we're glad you've gotten to finally do it.
Yeah, I certainly have. And friends, I'm just going to rave for a minute about Kanakuk because I want you all to know about this. And the camp that I know Will from is family camp. This will be my third summer with all of my kids going to Kanakuk Family Camp, which is in Branson, Missouri. And the reason I found out about Kanakuk Family Camp is because my kids started doing two-week sports camps at Kanakuk, which is just a fabulous family of Christian sports camps in Missouri. I'm an evangelist, Will, for Kanakuk. I can't help it.
Thank you so much for your kind words. It's really so nice of you.
Well, I'm just going to tell you two stories. I can't remember if I've told you this, Will, but I want my listeners to hear this. I've talked a little bit about Kanakuk before, and then I want to get into with you. You know, we'll talk about Kanakuk, but in general, a lot of moms and dads right now are sort of thinking about summer plans. Where do I send my child to camp? How do I find a good camp? How do I know it's safe? How do I find the right camp for my child? All that kind of stuff. And last summer, we talked about, I talked about on the air, these news reports that families didn't want to let their kids go to camp as easily as before, and they're putting phones in their duffel bags, secret phones, so the kids can stay in touch. And I don't know, and my dad, I don't know why my parents didn't send me to camp. They always seemed willing to let the kids go for a couple of weeks here and there. But in any event, two quick stories about Kanakuk. One is that shortly after I became a single mom, I was looking for a good place to send my kids. And I'd had an experience with one church camp for 1 week, one summer, which was very nice, but I was looking for a two-week camp. So I go online, I find Kanakuk, Dr. Dobson has endorsed it, great. I sign my two older kids up, we're done, we're good. Only it gets to be a couple months out, and I realize I really don't know anything about this place. I'm sending my kids for 2 weeks. It's not quite as well known in the Chicago area as it is elsewhere. And all of a sudden, I'm beginning to wonder, what have I done? Where am I sending my kids? And I literally started not only looking, researching a little bit more, but praying about it. And then suddenly, in about 10 days, I must have had six people say, oh, yeah, my kids have been to Kanakuk, or I went to Kanakuk as a kid, or talked to a friend in Texas, oh, my kids at Kanakuk for a month this summer. So that made me feel real good. And then when I went down with them for the first time, it was just phenomenal. It was like being on a movie set. I mean, the facilities, the cabins, I'll never forget the counselor when we pulled up that day with their bags, and I'm sending my kids off for 2 weeks, and I don't really quite know yet what I've gotten into. And the counselor says, welcome to the best 2 weeks of your life. And it was awesome. I loved it. And then so then I thought, okay, I felt great about it as soon as I saw it. And then when my daughter came home, they flew home, and she was 10 at the time. And here's what she said to me, and it was just, to this day, it just makes me cry. She had been to that camp the previous summer I mentioned. It was also a church camp. And now, please, friends, understand what I'm saying here. You never know what's going on in somebody's heart. You don't know whether they're comfortable talking about their Christian faith because of a cultural thing or whatever. So I'm not casting any suggestions like that. I'm just saying my 10-year-old daughter's take on it was, she walks up to me, literally gets off the plane, walks up to me and says, Mama, you know, at that other camp when they talked about Jesus, they seemed kind of embarrassed. But at this camp, when the counselors talked about Jesus, you can tell they loved him. And I cry every time I think of it. So that's Kanakuk. We're all going back this year. I've got kids in two-week camps and family camp and all that kind of stuff. And Will Cunningham, thanks for letting me share that long story. And I'm going to turn it over to you. As a director of family camp there, which is a camp obviously for families, you've been with Kanakuk for decades. But tell me a little bit about parents out there who are thinking of sending their kids away to camp, maybe for the first time. They're a little bit nervous. What are some of the advantages that you see of kids going through a camp experience, and how do you choose the right one for your child?
That's a great question. And, Betsy, let me preface it by saying you have a wonderful radio voice.
It's a little fast, I think, probably for some of my friends below the Mason-Dixon line, but for Chicago it works.
Let me answer your question as best I can. Betsy, there are a lot of advantages and benefits to summer camp, and I've experienced them as a parent myself. My kids are now grown and gone, literally down at Arkansas University, go Hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got the empty nest working, but I look back over the years, my wife and I, and she'd say the same thing if she was sitting in here, we spot such great things and such great benefits in Wesley and Peter's life since coming to Kanakuk. And so here's what I would say. I would say there's a breaking away process that happens in a kid's life that starts at a, 10, 11, 12, where they just, you've begun it with a couple of your kids.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And it's such a difficult time for them and for parents. But it's a must. It has to happen for them to grow up and become adults. And so one of the things that we seek to do, and which many summer camps seek to do, is to facilitate that proper breaking away process. You know, a kid can either break away poorly or he can break away well.
Ooh, well said.
And they can break away in such a way that's disrespectful and it hurts the family unit and so forth, or they can do it in a respectful way. What we hope to do, what many summer camps hope to do, is we kind of see camp like a bridge between adolescence and adulthood, or childhood and adulthood. And as that kid begins to break away, they venture out on that bridge. And every parent hopes that their child will meet some pretty wonderful people on that bridge.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's what we seek to do. We seek to place people just like those ones that greeted your daughter when she came into camp. Was it Victoria?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yes.
And so it's we want to place that kind of person on the bridge, and we want to make that bridge a wonderful experience as they're growing up and becoming adults. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly is the word first itself. There are a lot of things that kids experience at camp for the first time, a lot of firsts.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid at Kanakuk in the 60s, there were so many firsts. I'll name about six of them. One was I heard about Christ for the first time from a person that I highly respected. He was an athlete, a collegiate athlete, big bowed up, and I naturally listened to him. I shot a bow and arrow for the first time. I shot a BB gun for the first time. I sailed in a sailboat and canoed for the first time.
And I really appreciate that because you helped me to learn to canoe two summers ago.
That's right.
Right? Remember, we were out there, and the Hart family was literally going around in circles. And the whole camp was hysterical laughter. I was laughing, too.
I noticed you didn't ask me for a no, you went out again this year, though.
Yeah, we did. We did better last summer. But that first summer, you got in and you showed us how to do the J-stroke and all that kind of good stuff.
You're like Pocahontas.
Yeah, right.
So I would say, Betsy, that first, parents, they want to know that their kids are learning some things because, ability helps a child to feel important. Power helps them in life, and the ability to do things helps them to gain a foothold as they navigate the world outside. There's some things that people can probably look for. So those those are huge things in summer camp, the navigating, the breaking away process,
okay,
and establishing some firsts. Yep.
And maybe getting some confidence in things that my kids are never going to shoot a bow and arrow anywhere else, probably, but at Kanakuk. So just some confidence in like when we did the high ropes course there at family camp. I mean, do you remember I came and talked to you before that? I said, okay, now, Will, tell me that you've never had anybody killed from this. Do you remember that?
Yeah, your face was white. And we haven't had anyone killed.
Right,
doing
and it. So you convinced me and I could do it. And I thought, once again, didn't get to go as a kid, but as an adult, I got to do that. So I'm assuming that when the kids get to master something like that, there is just a sense of confidence. It's not even that you're going to need the bow and arrow skill in your life, But there's a confidence in being able to do something like that well and on your own without mom and dad standing right there.
That is so right. That is so right. Do you remember what it's like being in junior high?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's all of, you want to be known for something. You want you want people to really think that you're something or someone. And the, and you're right. You know, Betsy, the more that one knows that they can do, then the more confidence there is. And it just shows in the way they live their life.
Yeah, and I just think it just is going to come out in a lot of other areas of life. So now let's talk about how to find the camp then that you've decided this is a good thing for your kid. You're going to do it. How do you find the one that's right? I mean, yes, I love Candy Talk. There are a lot of great summer Christian camps and just summer camps in general. So how do you go about beginning to find which one is really right for your child and making sure it's a safe and wholesome environment?
Yeah, that's a read the fine print, ask a lot of questions. So whether that's via website or other literature, you really want to ask questions because this is your most precious commodity that you're putting in the hands of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We, for instance, when we interview people, we never tell the people this when we're interviewing them, but everyone that comes to interview at our camp.
You mean to be a counselor?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We do background checks on them, and we want to make sure that they're not going to harm a child in any way. It's a pretty rigorous thing. In fact, we just drafted our staff and turned away probably 500 or 600 really, really good people that they just didn't make the cut, but they were fantastic folks.
Really?
That's how many people we interview and hire at our camp, 2,500.
You hire 2,500 and you turned away another 500 or 600
to be
your summer counselors, and primarily you're drawing from college campuses. Is that
right? From all across the nation. But let me answer
you,
because I know these are very practical things.
We'll get into more in the next segment, but go ahead and just help me out here. Okay.
Well, people want to, you know, like our camp, for instance, we have 13 different camps. Not all of them accommodate the same age kids.
Mm-hmm.
If this depends on what age, find out what age that camp
accommodates. Okay.
Accommodates. Thank you. The duration of the term is important. That's why, you know, in these days, 1 week terms are very popular, but we really offer a variety. 1 week, we offer 2 weeks, we offer a full month. And so duration is important. Find out what activities are taught there.
Mm-hmm.
Find out a little bit about the staff and the process they need to go through to get the job.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about this on the other side. You're going to want to come back and hear more about summer camps with Will Cunningham. Be sure, friends, to visit kanakuk.com. That's KANAKUK.com. And you'll find out all about the Kanakuk camps themselves. Come right back with us for more as you get ready to send your kid to summer camp. It's Betsy Harden and Takes a Parent. Come right back.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage.
Thank you for the amazing job you've done in moving my first book forward in the publishing process.
Ludi Cotton Darnell's book, Ashley, Alex, and the Mystery Twins, was published with Zulon Press.
This is an exciting time for me.
Have you got a book for a Christian audience? Want to control the publishing process? Your free publishing guide is at ChristianPublishing.com.
I thank the Lord that Zulon Press has made it possible.
Visit Zulon Press for your free publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's Cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's Cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
Hi, this is Dennis Rainey. Listen to Family Life Today weekday mornings at 8:30 on AM 1160 WYLL.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
AM 1160.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Robin. Camp is very entertaining. And I say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. We are talking with Will Cunningham, director of KQI Family Camp in the Kanakuk Family of Camps, which is based in Branson, Missouri. They've got 13 different camps. My kids have been going there for years. I just love them. I specifically said, can you guys come on the air this week? Parents are beginning to make decisions if they haven't already about summer camps. Friends, I encourage you to visit kanakuk.com. That's K-A-N-A-K-U-K.com. But there are a lot of good summer camps in the United States. Will, let's continue. How do you figure out, is this camp right for my child?
Yeah, let me just finish what I was saying mm-hmm. when we took a break there. You want to find out about the spiritual content of the camp.
Okay.
Obviously, that touched the heart of your
yes.
Victoria when she was there. And find out other parents' testimonies. I mean, if you know folks that have been there, just ask and say, what was it like? The philosophies of the camp, what are the pillars of that they teach at that camp? And so find out what's going to be put into the head and heart of your child. That's
now,
important.
Is that something that – do most camps have pretty good websites? If you're a Christian camp, and presumably my audience would be looking for a Christian camp, will you be able to go and find out what we believe and what will most camp – I know Kanakuk does that. Do most camps, they want to be real open about that and it's going to be kind of easy to find?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do think Betsy that if you doubt, then call their main office and just ask. I mean, this is your child, and this is your
yeah.
you're paying the bill.
Yeah, and like the experience I had, which was it was sort of odd that I signed my kids up without getting a lot of input, but then when I got closer, I was really looking for that input. But I did find other parents who'd had experience with it. And I think that's huge, is to find other parents who've had good experiences that you can talk to and maybe even call the camp and find out, can you give me some references if it's your first time and if it's far enough away that you can't travel to see it and so you're taking your kids there, which, again, it's kind of what I did. But, you know, the Lord blessed it all and it all ended up working out. And I do have to tell you, you do have the most amazing counselors.
Mm.
I have just been so impressed with the caliber of these kids and these colleges. And again, I know other really good camps, especially in Chicago. There's some good ones in Wisconsin and Michigan, and I know other people who will say the same thing, that there are these great young people in colleges who go to be counselors at these camps who just are very open about their faith. They are walking with Christ, and they're showing young people like mine that you can do that as, frankly, a cool young person.
Mm.
And I really love seeing that, and I always joke with my girls that when they grow up and they call me and they say, Mom, I've met the man I'm going to marry. I'm going to say, is he a Kanakuk man? I really, when I was down there, I really said, girls, I want you to look at these young men. This is what you're aiming for. So I'm totally serious. I'm totally serious about that. So we find out a little bit about them, you know, determine the kind of the right camp, and maybe it's a sports camp or it's a music camp, something that your child has an interest in, and you've made your phone calls and all that kind of stuff. But apparently, more and more parents, Will, are having a tough time letting go when it actually comes time to take their kids to the bus or to the camp. And last summer, I'm sure you saw these pieces in Time and the New York Times about parents literally putting secret cell phones into teddy bears so that their kids could text them late at night and say, I'm really okay here. I'm happy. It's all right. I mean, to me, this is a whole new phenomenon. Are you seeing more of that, or is this just...
I don't know if it's new, but it is common, Betsy. And we just tell parents, if I sense that I've got a mom that's kind of stalking her son...
Well, that's a good word. I like that.
I'll just say, ma'am, you know, you're wonderful. You clearly love your son. And I'll say, if you've got questions, I will give that mom my number. And I'll say, anytime you have a question, just call me and ask for me, and I'll talk with you. And obviously I don't make that as a blanket offer, but I do that to the mom that I sense is really struggling. But then I will say very kindly and gently that your son's breaking or your daughter's breaking away process depends just as much upon you as it does upon them. I mean, they really need this for them to be. This is the start of it. You know, you hear it at the altar all the time when people get married. Mm-hmm. You know, the pastor will say, talk about leaving and cleaving from the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And we tend to think that process begins there at the church, at the altar, when they're getting married, but it really starts when they're about 12. This slow process of leaving and growing up and seeing, I can do it on my own. And if it doesn't happen, man, it just really breeds a lack of strength and courage and confidence in a child's life. So usually I can convince a parent that that's a good thing.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, hopefully there won't be too many, you know, secret texting phones or things like that. I just, you know, I got to tell you, I just sort of assume that they're going to be okay the whole time that they're away. And what's funny is last summer I had two daughters at camp and one son, and I got letters almost every day from my girls. Okay, I heard nothing from my son, nothing.
Imagine that.
And it's so funny. And I confess, I did call out there after about a week. And I just said, because I had put him on the plane himself to get out there on his own. And I did have parents actually saying to me, oh, are you going to have him escorted through the airport? I said, no, he's 14. Mm. He needs to be able to get on the plane by himself. And he did. But I did call out there after about a week to just say, he did get there, didn't he? I mean, he is there, right? And they said, yeah, he's fine. He's doing great. So that all worked out well. And to give him a little bit of a sense of independence and so forth, that I was not having him escorted through the airport. But tell me a little bit then about, you know, the philosophy of Kanakuk in particular. So it's a Christian camp, but what is your goal? We just have a few minutes left. But because I, you know, really, really appreciate what Kanakuk does, I want my listeners to hear from you what your philosophy is about what you want to be doing with those kids while you have them in your care for that 1 week or 2 week or 3 weeks.
Let me give you one that's biblical, one of our pillars, and one that is more generic. The generic one is very ancient, from 1926 when we first started. And that is the I Am Third Life. We really want a kid to realize that God comes first and others come second and the self comes third.
Mm.
It's just not a very popular message in today's culture.
Sure is not.
That's probably the generic one, but it's very important. And the one that's biblical comes from Luke 2:52. It's the four-square life. It's the last thing we hear about Jesus before he disappears from the scene for 18 years. So this is what happened in Luke 2:52. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man.
Mm.
And so we take those four things. We want kids to grow in their wisdom and in their intellect and their mind and what they know. In stature, we want their bodies to be the temple of God for them to learn to take care of it properly. And we want them to grow in favor with their fellow man. So socially, we want them to learn the skills of interacting well, and we want to provide those opportunities. And finally, we want them to grow in favor with God. First, that they would have a relationship with him, and then secondly, that they would enjoy him as their friend and their Lord.
Mm. And, you know, and along the way at Kanakuk, they have a whole lot of fun.
Mm.
And again, friends, I want you to go to Kanakuk.com, and I'm going to be posting a link on my website at betsysblog.com so that you could learn more about Kanakuk and see if that is the right camp for you. At least start thinking about whether or not this is something you want to invest in. You know, there's obviously a cost involved, and you have to think all that through, but is this a way that might be good for your kids next summer? And I can tell you, it's an investment that I really believe in my life and in my children's lives will reap eternal rewards. And I am so grateful to have found Kanakuk in particular, but there are a lot of other good camps. Just do look at Kanakuk and see what they have to offer, because I'll tell you, it's fun. I mean, when I dropped my kids off that first time, I called my brother and my cell phone. I said, I'm not coming back because I never got to go to camp. I want to stay here. I saw the slides and the pools and the cabins and the hiking and the archery and all the lessons. And it was just really, it was like out of a movie set. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I got to come to family camp. So fortunately, God was looking out for me. He knew I didn't get to go to camp as a kid. I get to come back and canoe around in circles at Kanakuk. Although I'm not doing that anymore because you've helped me out with that. So
yeah, you're going straight as an arrow.
Yeah. What's your enrollment looking like? We just have a few seconds left for this year. The economy, is that affecting it at all?
You know what? It's going to affect everyone. But
Surprisingly,
thankfully, we're still ahead. And we're ahead every year. We've gotten more, and we're still ahead this time of year. And so just hoping that more people don't drop their enrollment fee. And but so far we're ahead of where we were last year.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm so glad to have that. Hear that. Will Cunningham, director of the KQY Family Camp. Everything has a K at Kanakuk Family Camp. Thanks so much for joining us today on It Takes a Parent. I'm so pleased you could be here, and we'll be seeing you this summer, as we always do.
Thanks, Betsy.
Okay, thanks, Will Cunningham, for joining us. By the way, he has a great book, How to Win a Family Fight, from Random House. You want to get a hold of that, too. Friends, thanks so much for joining me here this week on It Takes a Parent. I hope you have a great week. I hope you look at Kanakuk.com and consider a summer camp experience for your kids. It can be kind of good for mom and dad, too. Listen, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. This is Betsy Hart from all of us at It Takes a Parent saying thanks for stopping by.
Hank Hanegraaff.
He's the answer man, the Bible answer man.
Discuss God's Word weekday evenings from 6 to 7 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I love it. I love getting in my car just to listen to it.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think you need a lift? That maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, to eat well, to look good for your age, to be healthy, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. Today there are so many wonderful enhancements available to you with little or no downtime and no surgery. And they can help you to look good on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. Dr. Khanna is a leader in treatments like Restylane to fill deeper facial lines, Botox to soften them, and the amazing Skin Tightener Accent. What's really incredible, just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180, or visit HannahMD.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's Cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's Cookies has lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocer's shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry, walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.